Our text for this morning's message is from that gospel reading. As they were talking about these things, Jesus stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." But they were startled and frightened and thought they saw a spirit. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still disbelieved for joy and were marveling, he continued. He said to them, "Do you have something to eat, dear friends in Christ?" As a little boy one time, it was his birthday. He got this brand new toy starship for his birthday. It was the best of all of those toys. I mean, it was a glorious gift. It was the best in the line of toys. Had all the best characters that went with it. The boy was ecstatic. He couldn't wait to open his toy and build it and begin to explore all of the galaxies in his mind. But then, well, reality hit home. It was a school day. And the rule in his house was, well, if it's your birthday and it's a school day, you can open your present in the morning, but you have to wait until after school is done in order to play with it. He'd have to wait. So the boy got dressed and got ready for school and went on to school. And while he was there at school, you can probably imagine his mind was not on his studies. He was back home with that toy. He was right there. Couldn't wait to get home. He imagined all the fun that he was going to have, but that was just it. He had to wait. There was a whole day full of school to sit through before he could go home and play. Unless he hatched a plan. He thought about it. There was one way that he could speed this process along. Well, what do you think he did? Well, he went up and told the teacher that he was sick. Of course he did. All he had to do was lie. So that's what he does. He goes and he pretended to be sick. His mother was called and she came home and got him and brought him home from school. Well, today's text is from this gospel in Luke 24. Our resurrected Lord interrupts a gathering of the disciples as they were talking about all the sightings that people had occurred this day. Peter had seen Jesus. The two disciples that had been walking to Emmaus had seen him. And they were marveling. And now, all of a sudden, they had all seen Jesus. He was right there in front of them. Jesus stood before the disciples, and it says that they disbelieved for joy. They disbelieved for joy. Now, it's really easy to relate to this story, isn't it? I mean, for you and me. If anybody here suddenly saw one of their deceased brothers, sisters, parents were standing right in front of them, well, we would all disbelieve for joy. We'd think it was an apparition, a ghost. We'd think that this can't be happening. We'd be glad, because that person that we had lost had been returned to us. And what's more difficult to grasp, this idea of disbelief and joy, what's even harder to kind of grab hold of is that juxtaposition between repentance and joy. Disbelief and joy we can kind of figure out. Too good to be true. But repentance and joy? As we look further into the text, Jesus teaches his disciples that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed to all nations. And in addition, the other passages of Scripture for today actually suggest a connection that there's a connection between repentance and joy. Peter, in our Acts lesson, he's there at the temple gate with the worshipers after he's healed a man. He and John have healed a man. And he says that they should repent, therefore, and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing that your sins may be blotted out, and that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. In John's epistle, he reminds us that Christ appeared to take away sins. And as those of us who here still abide in him, we should put away sin and that we should practice righteousness. These are all themes that are consistent with repentance. But our intro it today, I don't know if you noticed that, it talks about the joy that will come in the morning. And the psalm for today, Psalm 4, we did not read, talks about the abundance of joy that's more than when grain and wine abound. Those who planned the readings for today want us to place these two things side by side, repentance and joy. Even Jesus himself kind of introduced joy into the disciples' experience and the need to teach and talk about repentance. They were, the fact that they sighted Jesus, that they saw him, that he was flesh and blood, and then he tells them to bring this message of repentance and forgiveness. So we have joy and repentance right next to each other. Let's talk a little bit more about this boy with the starship. He gets back home with his mother. She brings him up to his room, tucks him into bed so that he'll rest and feel better. And you can probably guess, no sooner was he in bed than he asks her to bring him the toy. Well, any mother here knows that when that kind of thing happens, your suspicions kind of ring in your heads. She saw the deception, and she confronted him. The boy was caught in his lie, caught in his own sin. Now, if you're caught in your sin, you know it's not a pleasant, it's not a joyful place for any of us to be. The boy felt that sudden tinge of panic and guilt, and no doubt his mother saw it in his face. He was faced with that dilemma. Should he own up and confess to his sin, or continue to lie and cover up his tracks? Well, his instinct, you know, convinced by his old Adam, if you will, tells him to lie. And so he does. He follows his instinct. He told his mom he truly was sick. And she took his word for it and left him in his room, all alone with his guilty conscience. One of the things that's worse than repentance is trying to live with a guilty conscience. It introduces fear. It makes you irritable and angry. You need to feel, you feel the need to justify yourselves. A guilty conscience can make you feel miserable. It can throw your life into turmoil. That initial sin and temptation causes you to compromise yourself and to set aside what you know is the right thing to do in order to fulfill the desire that desire that's been influenced by the temptation. And then, of course, once the sin's been committed and you have to live with it, there's fear that manipulates you and controls you and pushes you into further and further sin. I don't know how many people here like Judge Judy, but one of the things she always says to the people when she's questioning them is saying, "Don't lie, tell the truth, and you don't have to remember the lie." Our lives, when we're in that state, which, you know, our lives which have been well-ordered and nice, and we had a clear conscience, and we had well-ordered relationships, all of that is suddenly turned upside down because of the guilt and the shame. And that boy and his little toy starship, they're caught in this dilemma. They know he can't play with the toy starship without thinking about the guilt and shame that he has. You see, Christ, he's actually come here to this earth. When he died and rose again, he came to set us free from that same dilemma. Jesus sets us free from sin and from the guilty conscience through repentance and forgiveness. See, the resurrection of Jesus brings joy, even joy in repentance. When Jesus is standing before those confused disciples as they're hiding and discussing the fact that apparently he had risen from the dead, he told them that repentance and the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, to everyone. And the disciples at that very moment were overjoyed. Jesus was alive and he stood before them face to face. He even ate a meal with them. They received joy because they were there and they were with Jesus. And it was Jesus' desire that they actually share this good news of his resurrection with the whole world so that the whole world would also know this same joy, this same love and care, this same message of repentance and forgiveness for their joy. You see, there's joy for the Christian not only in the receiving of forgiveness, but also in the proclamation of repentance and forgiveness. You can imagine that little boy there in his room stewing away his feelings of guilt and fear and regret for lying to his mother. He knew he'd lied to his teacher. He knew he'd lied to his mom. He wanted to make it right, but he was afraid. He was afraid. He was ashamed of what he was done. He was afraid that his sin had been found out. But the boy knew what was right. He remembered the lessons that he'd learned from his father and his mother about saying you're sorry, especially when you've done something wrong. And so what does he do? He takes it to heart. He took courage. He went down to his mother and told her what he'd done. Well, as you and I both know, the mother knew exactly what had happened. Just like our Father in heaven knows every sin that we commit. He knows exactly what we've done. But think about this. How much, when we're confessing, especially specific sins, it's terrifying at first. But once, of course, the sin was off this little boy's chest, he's relieved. Just as when we confess our sins before God, we're relieved. And the little boy was even more relieved when he feels that warm embrace of forgiveness from his mother. Now, he knew he'd done wrong. He knew that he might even have consequences to face. Maybe he wouldn't be able to play with that toy starship for a week. But he also knew that he was forgiven. There was joy to be found in that forgiveness. I don't think we're any different. I mean, how much greater is the joy that when we discover that for the sake of the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our sins have been forgiven. Our sins against God have been forgiven. I mean, I always think about the prodigal son as he's returning and saying to God, saying to his father, saying, listen, I don't deserve to be anything more than a servant. I don't even deserve that, but if you'll make me a servant, I'll come. And the father embraces him. Because he who had been dead was now alive. He who had been lost was now found. God accepts Jesus' sacrifice for your sin and for mine, and he brings us back into his fold with open arms. You see, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is our joy. It is our joy. He who was dead is now alive. And so let us repent of our sin before God and know that he has forgiven us. Live in the joy of that gospel. Let us repent of our sin and before one another. Give forgiveness freely as you have been forgiven. Live in the joy of restored relationships, not only with God, but with one another. When Jesus, after his resurrection, comes and appears before the disciples, he instructed them that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations. Brothers and sisters, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Receive God's forgiveness. Live in the joy of the gospel because of our risen Lord. Amen and amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior, now and always. Amen.